You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
6:06 right now. Thank you so much for joining us on the Civic Media Radio Network. You're listening to Civic Media Mornings. My name is Jamie Martinson.
And I'm Brian Noonan. Good morning. Big day on the show today. Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call will join us at 7:20 to talk about a legal win for he and his coalition of state governors. So that will be fun. We're going to talk, of course, more about Minneapolis. We've got, and then we'll have some fun to wrap up the show, commemorating a classic sitcom that turns 50 with a Milwaukee Brewer.
Oh, well, it doesn't get much better than that.
Am I talking about a baseball player, or am I talking about someone who makes beer? You'll have to be here to find out. We're not telling you everything right at the beginning of the show.
Can't give away all the secrets, Brian.
Jamie, I left. I had an event last night, and I went to do that. And in the interim, so many things keep happening. And as you can imagine, the story out of Minneapolis has not, should not die off. But yesterday, we're getting word that Alex Pretty had a run-in with ICE a week before. Before he was murdered by an ICE agent on Saturday. And I know we're not supposed to be sensationalizing things.
Right.
We're supposed to stay calm. But in the calmest way I can say this, it's alarming if these reports are true.
Yes.
And why don't you, before people go, what are you talking about? Jamie will tell you.
Yeah.
But keep my little alarm warning in your head.
I think your reaction is spot on, because federal immigration officers had collected personal information on Minneapolis protesters and agitators, according to these reports, and had even documented details about Alex Pretty before he was shot last Saturday. Now, it's unclear how he first came to federal authorities' attention, but about a week earlier, he was actually tackled by agents during a protest and suffered a broken rib, according to sources. Now, DHS, of course, is saying that they have absolutely no record of that earlier incident. Like, what else are they going to say?
Records of incidents.
Yeah.
No need, Jamie.
We don't need the important paperwork. It's fine. A memo to agents in Minneapolis directed them to collect images, license plates, IDs, and other information on quote-unquote agitators and protesters, even when no arrest was made. Now, this information was then entered into I love this. This is like, is this a formal name? Intel Collection Non-Arrest Form to consolidate data on observers and demonstrators. Pretty's name was known to federal agents. It's unclear, though, if the new form was used to log any of his personal information. It's also unclear whether agents recognized him during the fatal encounter when they wrestled him, seized his gun from his waistband, and then shot him in the back. DHS says collecting information on people who obstruct or assault officers is standard practice, but they deny maintaining any sort of database of domestic terrorism.
Where are you keeping your collection? If you're collecting information, don't you put it somewhere, or do you just collect it and look at it and then toss it in the garbage? So you can't do both. You can't collect data and not have a database, or you have a database and you're collecting people, and it harkens back to the old J. Edgar Hoover files. Anybody who J. Edgar Hoover viewed as an agitator or an enemy of the state, they kept files on, and that was done more for bigger leaders, Martin Luther King and the Black Panthers and things like that. But there were also other people on there who spoke out against the government. This is just a way for DHS and this administration to keep tabs on people who are exercising their rights. That's the issue. They're not doing anything illegal, or else they would be arrested. They're just out there. And you know what? They're annoying. That's the big sin of these protesters. They are annoying ICE agents.
Yes.
They're blowing whistles. They're making noise. They're standing in the street filming them. So their crime is, in the opinion of DHS, being annoying.
Yes.
And if that was a crime, I wouldn't be with you today.
And I think it's
in Gitmo.
And I think it's important to remember that border czar Tom Homan, who has now been sent to Minneapolis, he met with Walz, he met with Fry yesterday. Mm-hmm. Apparently, they had very productive conversations. He's actually publicly advocated for creating a database, just as we're talking about, for people who've been arrested or interfere with the ICE operations. So there's not a part of me that doesn't believe this database doesn't exist somewhere.
Oh, it exists. And then just to go back to what you first said, that they there's no report on the incident with Alex Preti being tackled. Imagine if your local police department tackled you. And then you went back, well, there was really no report. How is that possible?
Right.
None of this seems credible at all. When you, all you have to do is start peeling back just a little. You don't even have to go very deep.
Right.
Talk to, if you see a police officer today in your town, ask, hey, if you, you know, you have to report everything, all your interactions, right? And they will tell you, yes, we do, for our protection and your protection.
I mean, peeling back the layers of this administration, you don't have to peel very far. Ever, no. Right? Like, you don't, because they're...
It's all right there.
It's all right there at the surface. And as much as they want us to believe what they tell us, they don't do a very good job of covering up their tracks, right? And there's actually instances of that that we're going to talk about here in a few minutes. But there was also big news out of Minneapolis yesterday because, and again, all surrounding the death of Alex Preti. Two federal officers fired their weapons during that fatal shooting of Preti, according to an initial Department of Homeland Security report. Now, this report comes from Customs and Border Protection's Office of Professional Responsibility. They actually have one of those. Can you believe
that? Well, they just built it Sunday. It's actually a closet. The mop is in there, too. But there's an office, technically. Well, a handwritten sign taped to the door like the He-Man Women Haters Club.
It's hard to believe. During this struggle on the ground, a Border Patrol agent reportedly shouted, "He's got a gun," before the shots were fired. About 5 seconds later, one agent fired and a CBP issued Glock 19, and then another fired a CBP issued Glock 47. Now, the report doesn't specify whether both of those officers' bullets struck Preti. The officers used their own agency-issued firearms, not Preti's weapon, according to this initial report. Video analysis, of course, indicates an officer removed the gun from his waistband, we're talking Preti, of course, before the actual shooting.
And I'm rerunning the video in my head. When they all stepped away, it sure looked like more than two officers had their guns pointed at him. And there were reportedly about 10 shots fired.
Yes.
So did these two guys fire all of them and then the rest were just holding their guns for because it's cool to point a gun at somebody? Again, the credibility of this administration and this agency in particular is staggeringly bad.
Well, and when you're dealing with individuals who have very little training and have signed up to wear a face mask and have been paid $50,000 for potentially very little with very little training, yeah, I think they do just maybe want to point a gun at what they consider to be the bad guys. I'm not really sure what the why they're there, other than because they've been told they're going to get paid a lot of money, and there's probably a pretty good chance that they may agree with this administration on how to handle what they consider to be illegal aliens or illegal immigrants or whatever it might be. I mean, let's be realistic. We don't know what the intent of these ICE agents necessarily are in all cases either, since there has been such a large recruitment effort by this administration.
Well, and if it were just about immigration, that's a different conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a conversation, and we've said this so many times, the immigration system in this country is broken. It needs to be fixed. We also know that, yes, past administrations have deported more people. This administration is the only one that is militarizing a private police force against its own citizens for the crime of carrying out their constitutional rights to protest. There's the big difference. Nobody in their right mind is saying, no, we should just let everybody in. And if you're a criminal, it's cool. Just stay. Nobody's saying that. What we're saying is this is unconstitutional. This is creating fear and chaos. This is not doing what you set out to do, what you told the American people you were going to do. This is counter to everything that you stated. Mm-hmm. And so now you have decided, and only targeting specific cities. The administration could say this is not a retribution, but come on. It's only blue cities, only blue states. Where's the presence in other places? If it's really about that, everybody or nobody.
Right, right. Agreed. Now, there's an autopsy being done by the Hennepin County Medical Examiner that's pending on Alex Preddy. And there's also, as we know, multiple investigations that are ongoing, including by DHS and Minnesota's Bureau of Criminal Apprehension. And let's be realistic, we're going to probably remember, we're going to want to see that report before DHS's. Yeah. Yesterday, President Trump called Preddy's death an unfortunate incident, saying he shouldn't have been carrying a gun. Cut one, please.
Wow.
There's a lot to unpack there. There is a lot to unpack there. First of all, is anybody else annoyed by the fact that Great Balls of Fire is just playing on loudspeaker?
I enjoyed that very much. My favorite karaoke song. But
digression.
That being put aside, unfortunate incident is downplayed. This is where I think the beginning of the downfall of Donald Trump may come.
Hopefully.
Alex Preddy had every legal right to carry that gun. He had every legal right to carry it wherever in Minnesota he wanted to carry it. It is an open carry state. He is licensed and has the permits. He is completely within every right of his to carry that gun. It doesn't matter. And obviously there's limitations on where he can carry a gun, of course. But outside, in the street, is not one of those places that is limited.
No.
So they keep banging on this, and we're hearing from the NRA, we're hearing from Minnesota gun groups, we're hearing from all the Second Amendment folks who are now falling over their feet trying to backpedal to say, well, it doesn't mean you can... No. Again, this is no debate. It's either legal or it's not legal.
Yeah.
And you wanted it legal. It's legal. You don't get to pick and choose. He never brandished that weapon. They took it out of his waistband. It was never out. Until they tackled him, nobody knew he had a gun.
Right, right.
All right, I'm getting worked up.
It's okay. We'll let you calm down a little bit. I was going to say hair on fire, but that doesn't apply here. The president has also said that his administration wants to de-escalate the tensions in Minnesota to the point where they actually had to issue reports last night from the White House Deputy Chief of Staff, Stephen Miller. He actually had to say in a statement that they may not have been... DHS agents may not have been following proper protocol before that fatal shooting. That's an official statement, by the way.
Okay.
6:19 right now, you're listening to Civic Media Mornings. My name is Jamie Martinson.
And I'm Brian Noonan. And I don't think de-escalate means what they think it means.
No.
There's more after this on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Thank you so much for joining us right now on the Civic Media Radio Network. You're listening to Civic Media Mornings. If you're in Eau Claire, you're listening on 93.5 The Tap. Maybe if you're in Oshkosh, Appleton area on WISS. Or if you're in La Crosse on WLCX, you might even be listening on the app, which means that you can get us anywhere just by going to your Apple or your Google store and downloading that for free. My name is Jamie Martinson.
And I'm Brian Noonan. I've taken a deep breath. It hasn't helped. Because now let's turn our attention for a moment from Minneapolis to Milwaukee.
Yeah.
And officials are saying, please, please don't believe everything you read on the internet, good advice, or hear from your neighbors, because there have been a lot of unverified rumors that ICE has moved in to Milwaukee. These rumors are unverified, and people are getting upset, and local leaders, and whether it's political or community leaders, are not having it anymore.
Yeah. In fact, Mayor Cavalier Johnson's office, a spokesperson for his office, had to put out a statement saying, we have no solid indication, essentially, that ICE is surging into the city. That spokesperson had to add that similar rumors have surfaced almost weekly. They've never materialized. Milwaukee County Executive David Crawley also had to put out some sort of statement saying he checked with both the Milwaukee Police Department and the County Sheriff's Office. Neither has heard anything from federal agencies about any sort of large-scale enforcement action in the city of Milwaukee. And, of course, local immigrant rights groups that work to basically confirm ICE arrests are also asking people to pause any sort of this unverified information and these rumors online, and to realize that this sort of chatter really just only adds fear into the immigrant community. Yes. And in fact, Voces de la Frontera, which is an immigrant rights organization founded back in 1994. So they've been doing this amount of time. They actually had to issue a statement saying that they've heard a lot of these rumors about ICE sightings in Milwaukee over the past few weeks. Many of these rumors, they say, have already been debunked. We're asking for your help in stopping the spread of unverified claims, particularly about ICE being spotted at hotels or other locations. Hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's tough because you hear reports out of Minneapolis, and I know I heard reports when the big surge was going on here, people not leaving their homes, staying sequestered for as long as these agents are in the city, and it's irresponsible to spread these rumors. There is a level of cruelty to it. And there's also this sad, bigger conversation of the fact so many people feel they need this attention from the internet. They need those likes, those comments, those views. And so they will spread lies, maybe without even any malice behind it, but they want to be involved so bad. They need to be heard. They need to feel important. So if I start this and people comment on it, Look at me. Aren't I somebody instead of just a regular everyday 9-to-5 person?
Yeah.
You know,
and these immigrants rights groups are urging caution about the chatter, but they're also reminding people to stay vigilant and to report any activity that they're seeing so that it can be either verified or debunked in this particular case. Because all these reports really do is emotions are running high right now, right? Among several communities, especially these larger cities that have been targeted. So all this really does is taps into the emotion, and it adds into some of the I think fever pitch of all of it and organization. And sometimes you got to be a little bit more measured with some of these rumors. And there was actually an instance of one widely shared post on X that claimed ICE had actually booked rooms at a downtown Milwaukee hotel as part of a buildup for the crackdown. That post received hundreds of thousands of views before it was actually taken down and deleted, and there was no evidence that actually supported any of what was in that post.
I'm sure Hilton was very happy about that, and their lawyers are very happy for more billable hours. That's horrifying.
Yeah.
Can we give this tip every day? And probably we should give this tip every segment, just in case. Don't believe everything on the internet.
Really?
Don't believe it. Well, here's the thing.
This is news to me.
Jamie, you think that, I know, that sounds basic. The Boyquarium is like, hey, old man, we know that. Do we?
No.
Do we?
No, we don't.
We say we know that. Everybody claims that they're savvy on the internet, and then I'll get sent things from people going, hey, did you see this? I go, dude, this is AI.
That person has
eight fingers on one hand. It's not real. That bear did not drive a car to the circus. It didn't happen.
AI, I think, has complicated the entire conversation, right? Because it is hard to tell when things are maybe verified or not verified. So you have to do a little bit of digging. But make sure you're also using reputable sources, right? And again, check with some of these local groups.
Jamie is always doing the research. You can, if Jamie says it, you can trust it. If I say it, 90%.
I try.
You can trust it 90%.
I try. I do my own fair amount of digging just to make sure that the facts that I bring are accurate, are true, because we can all get duped just a little bit. But let's just be responsible with our voices right now. I think that's the moral of the story. If you are going to be posting anything about what's happening with ICE on social media, and let's use that as a general rule of thumb for every day.
I would hope so. That should be added to the golden rule.
It should. I mean, times have changed. So maybe the golden rule needs to be rewritten just a little bit, too.
The Bill of Rights has amendments. The golden rule can have amendments as well.
How do we do that? How do we amend the golden rule? Is there a process
for
that? Well,
the Boyquarium starts another list. They have your scroll of achievements.
It's a short one, by the way.
This is a lot.
They have my potential FCC violations, and then they can add this one.
There we go.
Yeah. What else are they doing back there?
I was going to say, it's not like they're doing anything. They're fine.
Relax.
Now, coming up, we're going to talk a little bit more about the escalation in Minneapolis, and it looks like not all of the Republicans are on board with Kristi Noem anymore. So we're going to get into that conversation.
Mm-hmm.
It might be about time. It's 6:29 right now. You're listening to Civic Media Mornings. I'm Jamie Martinson.
And I'm Brian Noonan. There's more to come, so stick around on the Civic Media Radio Network.
6:35 right now. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. A chilly start to your day, so hopefully you are staying warm. Someday we won't have to say that. You're listening to Civic Media Mornings. My name is Jamie Martinson.
And I'm Brian Noonan. Good morning. If you want to get involved in the program at all today, 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842. Jamie, you started mentioning Stephen Miller and a statement that he made. We're going to get into looks like Kristi Noem's time may be up, but let's go back because you wanted to share more of that statement because Stephen Miller, who is best compared to Nosferatu as he sits in his corner just sharpening his fangs, and he could be one of the most evil men on the planet, if not... I'd like to meet his runners-up.
Let's be real. There's been rumors that he pulls a lot of strings and has a lot of influence in this particular administration. And I think this is important context based on the statement that came out last night as we talk about these calls for Kristi Noem to step down and how Republicans are starting to view this. So there were reports last night that came out right around 7:30 or so that the language claiming Alex Pretty wanted to massacre federal agents wasn't actually spontaneous, that was dictated to Kristi Noem and DHS by Stephen Miller, who is the White House Deputy Chief of Staff. Now, that led Miller to releasing an official statement last night saying that officials are evaluating why Customs and Border Protection agents in Minneapolis may not have been following proper protocol before the fatal shooting of Alex Pretty. This is the statement, quote.
All right.
Miller says the White House provided clear guidance to DHS that the extra personnel that had been sent to Minnesota for force protection should be used for conducting fugitive operations to create a physical barrier between the arrest teams and the disruptors. Statement goes on to say, we are evaluating why the CBP team may not have been following that protocol.
Wow.
Changing
the
story.
Finger pointing and covering your butt phase of the administration where everybody now realizes that they did the one thing that is unforgivable in the eyes of the president. They made him look bad.
Mm-hmm.
And so now heads are going to roll. And I don't know when, but it seems to me, we know that there's really nothing that the president can do that gets his head rolling because he's, he's done all those things and nothing happens. But he is not above getting rid of people in his cabinet, not above getting rid of people on his staff. And now Republicans are starting to fracture from the party line, and they're calling for Kristi Noem.
They're also starting to be skeptical
of voices.
Yeah, they're also starting to be skeptical of Stephen Miller. Although those calls are not quite as the drumbeat isn't quite as loud yet for Miller as it is for Noem.
It's starting with Miller, Noem, and then Corey Lewandowski is also being put in that group of the head on the block.
Yeah, yeah. So, Senator, pick your poison, right? One of somebody's evil in this entire cast of characters, and here we are. So, Senators Tom Tillis, and let's remember that Tom Tillis is not seeking re-election. So he can be a little bit more vocal and stand up a little bit more to this administration. He, of course, is from North Carolina. You have Lisa Murkowski from Alaska. They're the first Republicans to call for Kristi Noem to resign after the killing of Alex Pretty. And also, let's not forget, Renee Good just earlier, a couple weeks before. Now, Tillis says that he has absolutely no confidence in Noem. He called her actions amateurish and unacceptable, and he actually got into a press scrum last night and as he was walking to his car, and his comments to me were unbelievable for an elected official talking about somebody that this party voted to put into a cabinet seat.
They approved her.
All right, so let's go to cut two, please. This is Tillis. That was
He's not wrong.
No, it's not wrong. And I will be honest, that was some of the least harsh language that he used on his way to the car. It was actually a moment where I was a little taken aback from a sitting Republican because of the fact that they have protected this administration so much. To hear somebody be that vocal against somebody in the cabinet was actually a little shocking to me, anyway, who tends to go through a lot of this audio and hear a lot of these comments that they're made. But there was no protection from Tillis last night.
Doesn't it seem like it has to at some point weigh on some of these people where they will get to the point, whether Tillis is up for re-election or not, he's still got to finish out his term.
Mm-hmm.
They have to, as a human being, just reach the point of this is dumb. And then if you are a Republican who really believed that, that was one of the big platforms, the immigration thing, border security, and then they put somebody in charge of it who has no idea. It's been a complete disaster in the last year. If you can... Even if you're not running again, you still want your party in charge. And if you see it deteriorating because of actions by, a cosplaying goofball, you got to say something.
What I also think we have to remember is Kristi Noem, we see her get paraded out after these ICE incidents, these ICE murders, attacks, whatever we want to call it. Again, pick the word of the day. But she's also in charge of FEMA and disaster relief in this country, which has also been abysmally bad. Which Tillis, if you have a chance to search out his comments, he also refers to. He basically says what she's been able to do or not done in disaster relief in her short tenure has been a complete and total disaster for a majority of this country. And again, it's pretty stunning stuff.
Talk to everybody, to anybody who was involved in all the floods.
Yeah.
Talk to the people in Texas who lost family members and lost children because of the floods. You pick your poison. Talk blizzards, wildfires, all of this, because, the wildfires, if they had just cleaned up, that would have been better. I know that was the president saying that, but then
she echoes it. She echoes it when she gets to a podium. Yeah.
She's an empty vessel. She says what they tell her to say. Her only strength is picking out costumes to wear that go with the event. That is, she is, I mean, I, Jamie, we're both old enough to remember when secretaries of agencies did not dress up.
No.
They weren't on TV every day.
No.
We didn't see them on commercials at night. Stop the cult of personality and get qualified adults in these jobs, because these jobs are important.
It's fascinating to me, coming from South Dakota, I've kind of got to see the rise of Kristi Noem.
Do you remember her old face?
Oh, I do. Okay. Very vividly, in fact. It's interesting to me to see, and I even look at somebody like Speaker John Thune, also a South Dakotan, who I've watched rise through the ranks of politics. These are not the same people they were. We might not have ever agreed politically with ideology, but they were measured human beings who actually had positions, and they had thoughts, their own thoughts. Okay. They maybe had souls.
She was not this type of person as a governor, because she was not.
No, neither was John Thune.
Looked upon nationally as a good person or a good governor.
No.
What do you think? Where did the change come? Where do you believe the turning point was for?
When Donald Trump was elected the first time around.
That's when I saw them both start to change.
Yes.
It ennobled them or enabled them to act out things that were already
Did they have a choice? That's my question. Did this party have a choice? I'm not sure if this party had a choice because of the mean tweets, right? There was a lot of mean tweets. I think there's been a lot of threats towards my take on it would be the threats towards they've done it outwardly. They've threatened own members of their party on Truth Social posts when they've stood at the podium. They've told them to make the right choices. So I think that's when we started to when I personally started seeing the change in some people that, again, I would have never voted for ideally because of what we believed was very different. But I found them to be measured people, like actual humans, right? Maybe we just didn't philosophically align. We do have Charles on the phone, and he wanted to weigh in about Kristi Noem and the Republicans. So, Charles, what do you have for us this morning?
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning, Charles.
For me, none of this matters. Any of the Republicans speaking out or Stephen Miller with this bogus letter he sent out, it doesn't matter if we don't get the evidence from Renee Good's murder, and it doesn't matter if no one is prosecuted in the killing of Alex. They can do all the talking they want to. Until they hand over all the information for the state of Minnesota to investigate and bring these people to justice that outright killed other humans in plain sight, they can say everything they want to say. It's all about prosecuting the people that outright killed someone. You know, they can, this is not right and blah, blah, this. Well, they're saying all of that. As they're saying it, they're making sure that they keep all the evidence away from the state of Minnesota officials to investigate this.
Well, that's changing a little now. Thank you for the call, Charles. That is changing. The part of the Alex Pretty discussions between Governor Walz and Mayor Fry and the administration is that Minnesota's handling this investigation, and they're going to collect the data, and they're the ones who prosecuted the I want to say Rodney King, and that's not it. Who am I thinking of?
George Floyd.
Wow. They prosecuted and got the conviction for the George Floyd case. So I have confidence in Minnesota's criminal investigations, and they are going to get the evidence, and I think they will continue the fight to get it for Renee Good's case as well, despite the best efforts of DHS to cover things up.
Michelle texting in from listening on WMDX this morning, saying she, as in Kristi Noem, shot and killed her puppy. Not sure if she was ever a good human. I don't know if she was ever a good human. She was definitely not to the degree, in my experience, watching her rise that she is now. I don't disagree with Michelle. I will say that she seemed at the time like a more measured person that you could actually negotiate with, have a conversation with. I'll never try to know what's going on in somebody's head or in their own home, but she seemed like a politician that might stay more moderate, at least early on in her rise.
Can I, as a former South Dakotan, mm-hmm. can I ask you to clarify? Maybe you don't know this, and that's why I'm asking a question. I'm not making a statement. I've seen a lot of things online that the Native American reservations have banned her while she was governor from coming on their land. Is that true?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
The reservations in South Dakota have sovereignty over themselves. They have their right. own tribal law. They have their own tribal police force. And so they can choose to make those laws and those rules. And that's what they chose. Now, wow. I was okay. not in South Dakota, so I don't know how that all played out. But that is true because I still have relatives.
Okay.
Yep. I still have relatives there. I get there a little of the news every now and then. It's 6:48 right now. You're listening to Civic Media Mornings. My name is Jamie Martinson.
And I'm Brian Noonan, a NFL announcer, had a hot take, and now he's in hot water. We'll talk about that. How'd you like that?
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
6:52 right now. We hope you're having a great morning. You're listening to Civic Media Mornings. My name is Jamie Martinson.
And I'm Brian Noonan. A couple quick things before we get into our sports story that borders on free speech. Yesterday, we talked about Tom Tiffany. Yesterday,
yes.
he's running for governor here in Wisconsin. You know that. You also know that he claimed, what happened? Did something fall down?
Is everything
down?
Okay?
What happened to the boy query?
I honestly have no idea what just happened there. That was really weird.
Okay, well, you guys figure that out. Yeah. Well, it scared us. We're old. You can't do that to
too.
Us. Okay.
Tom
right.
Tiffany's outside throwing things at the window, allegedly.
That's right.
Tom Tiffany had said that he did not see any of
right.
the videos of Alex Purdy's murder because they were too grainy.
Mm-hmm.
And I theorized yesterday that perhaps this was a way to ingratiate himself into the president's goodwill. You know, he's got a campaign coming up. Well, guess what, Jamie? I'm not as dumb as I look.
Seemed to work because last night the president endorsed Tom Tiffany for governor of the great state of Wisconsin. So keep that on. Well, you didn't have to try too hard at your bingo card to pretty much know that was coming.
That was coming. That was coming 100%.
You know, when you say things publicly like, I haven't seen the video because it's too grainy because, boy, those iPhones, they don't take very good video anymore. He didn't say that. That's me. But at the same time, you know, we'll paraphrase a little bit.
And I don't know if that's a great thing, because the people the president endorsed in the last election did not do well. Tammy Baldwin also making some headlines yesterday with her stand.
Yeah, she says that she will vote against funding the Department of Homeland Security unless major accountability measures are added, which we all know the partial shutdown could happen if they can't get any sort of bill passed Friday night, well, into Saturday morning. I guess it'd be 12:01 a.m. is when that shutdown would take place. She will not give DHS and ICE a blank check, as she called it, and accuse the agencies of acting lawlessly and endangering communities. So she is a no until they can get that figured out. Mark Pocan.
She was listening to us yesterday?
Yes,
as we,
of course.
We went through that?
Of course. Mark Pocan, in case you're wondering, also voted no when that was in the House of Representatives. So little check mark in case you're keeping track of how your electeds are doing in Washington, D.C. But we got to talk a little free speech, I think.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. As a guy who made his living for 2 decades as a comedian, I get very upset when people use the "it was just a joke" defense. Now, you and Frank had a very... I'm not familiar with Paul Allen. I know he was a longtime Minnesota Vikings radio announcer. You guys had very strong feelings about him. I know nothing about him. All I know is that he put his foot in his mouth. He made some comments. Now he's in trouble, and he's using the "I was just kidding" defense.
Yeah, and if you don't know who Paul Allen is, he is a longtime Minnesota Vikings radio announcer. And he made a bit of a joke, or at least that's what he's calling it, on air about paid protesters in Minnesota, referencing, of course, the conspiracy theories that demonstrators are funded by outside groups.
Now, I've never been paid.
Right? I've never. Nobody. I really wish those checks would start coming in the mail someday. Now, this is what he said. In conditions like this, do paid protesters get hazard pay? This was during his radio show called The Paul Allen Show. And then he later made those remarks then basically, as you can imagine, got a little backlash. Mm-hmm. A Vikings Jumbotron image connected to the protests also went viral, intensifying this criticism on social media. Now, he has publicly apologized, calling his comments insensitive and poorly timed. If you know anything about Paul Allen, to me, that's pretty much his entire career, insensitive and poorly timed. And he also said they were a misguided attempt at humor, stressing that they were not meant as political statements. Now, the show, it's a sports show, right? It's a sports show.
Hot takes all the time.
Right. He says it does not take political positions and apologize for anybody who is hurt or offended. I've heard the show. Politics and sports align once in a while. I'm not going to say that the Paul Allen Show is diving deep into politics like we do here on Civic Media. You know, they've got their hot takes, though, because it's sports. It's sports.
Listen, all we have to do is Colin Kaepernick. Boom.
Right.
So they do intertwine. And also, sports shows are hosted by people who live in this country and mm-hmm. have thoughts. And sometimes those thoughts come out. It doesn't mean the show is completely political or even a quarter political.
Right.
It's just every once in a while you talk about what's happening in
sure.
the world.
Yeah, it happens. Now, Allen has announced that he's taking temporary leave from the program, saying, quote,
that.
My best was lacking Friday, and for that, I am sorry. Now, I can pretty much imagine that just knowing what I do about Paul Allen, I don't think he probably did this because he wanted to.
He's not taking a rest.
No.
This is the company saying, all right, it's time to move on.
Yeah. There's no timeline for when he's going to actually be back on his own show. So for now, they have some sort of longtime contributor in the chair. But, you know, he's one of those guys that you either love him or you hate him. And I know a lot of Vikings fans who love their team. They're passionate. They don't even like Paul Allen. They're like, he's just too much.
And that's the thing with all radio and TV personalities. Mm-hmm. You're going to have people love you or hate you.
Sure.
Part of the deal is, you know, in that medium, it's, and in this medium too, it's all about how much controversy you can generate with what you say. The problem I have with this is the people who would argue, well, doesn't he have a right to say that? Yes, he has a right to say it. He did say it. His company also has a right to not put up with it.
Yeah.
There's no right that says there are no consequences for your free speech.
Right.
You can say those things. And I'll be honest, I read what he said and I thought, now I could have said that here and everybody listening would have known it was a joke because of you've heard me say things that are a little pushing
sure.
the line, but it's obvious
right.
I'm kidding.
Right.
He was not kidding.
No. We also have a responsibility in this chair to make sure that you understand these are our opinions, but we also have a responsibility that we take greatly here at Civic Media. So when we're sitting in this chair, we try to be responsible with our words and what we're doing. It is 6:59 right now. You are listening to Civic Media Mornings. My name is Jamie Martinson.
And I am the irresponsible wordsmith, Brian Noonan. When we
Never.
Come back, more about Neil Young and Greenland. It is
the national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.